Passionate Pursuit of Pedagogical Perfection podcast, episode 1, Finding Your Why. I'm your host, Aaron Daffern, and I want to take this time in the introductory podcast to share with you a little bit about why I am an educator and how that can help you in your own trials and tribulations that you come across in your classroom. I didn't plan on becoming a teacher. I was born and raised in California in a minister's family. My father was a minister, and he still serves as a pastor in Sonoyta, Arizona. And I have an identical twin brother. He's the ugly one, in case you're wondering. He also serves as a pastor. He is in Columbus, Mississippi. And so I came from a minister's family, and that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I thought I needed to do to fill out my faith. I am a strong believer in God and in Jesus Christ. And so going to a Baptist college in California, California Baptist University in Riverside, California, and then going to seminary after that, that just made sense to me. And so as I went through high school and entered into college, I had my life mapped out for me. And I really didn't plan on teaching. I actually did a few sub jobs out in California in my final year of college, just as a way to make a little bit of extra money, because I had kind of a light schedule and I had a Friday off every single week. And I decided, you know, it's just teaching, right? How hard could it be? And so I decided to sub for a few of my college buddies who had gone into the education program and become teachers themselves. And honestly, I didn't like it that much. I wasn't too interested, but, you know, I was a warm body. It paid the bills. And so I was able to at least have a little bit of experience with education. And what happened was I graduated in California Baptist University in 1999, got married that summer to my beautiful wife, Heather, and we lived out there that following year from 99 till 2000. And I was working in the campus ministries department, and everything was going according to plan. I had my undergraduate degree. It was actually a double major in history and religion. The history was completely useless. It was just for fun. I like to blame that on my junior and senior year high school teachers who made history so awesome that I decided to get a completely useless bachelor's degree from my university. Thank you very much. My real passion was the religion degree, which was Christian studies. I had 2 years of Greek. I was Old Testament, New Testament, you name it. And so I started my career with a young bride, fresh out of college in the campus ministries department. And that turned out okay. It wasn't great, but it was entry level and was beginning. And then we found out in the spring of 2000 that my father-in-law had been diagnosed with Huntington's disease. And that was going to radically change his lifestyle, and things were kind of getting a little bit interesting in Texas, where my wife was born and raised, Fort Worth, Texas. And so we decided that we should move back to Fort Worth for several reasons. One, to be near her family. Second, there's a very good Baptist seminary, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. And Heather, my wife, was very connected with her church. And so there was an opportunity. I talked with a few people, and I was able to do an internship with the church there. So we moved from California to Fort Worth. I still live in Fort Worth 18 years later. And it was to pursue the ministry. And that's what I wanted to do. The problem was, is I was in Fort Worth with one of the largest seminaries in the United States. Me and about 8,000 other wannabe ministers were trying to find church jobs all in the Fort Worth area. And so I was competing against a very, very large market of ministers and would-be ministers. I was newly married, and I needed a job. I was doing a free internship at the church to get a little bit of experience, but that wasn't paying any of the bills. Well, thankfully, at the church, one of my friends that I had just met, his name is Mickey McPherson. He is currently a teacher at Irma Marsh Middle School in Casper ISD, where one of my sons goes, and he is still one of the best teachers I have ever known. He was a friend of mine, and he told me one Wednesday night at choir practice, he said, you know what, you have a bachelor's degree, you can teach. And he told me about the alternative certification program that Texas has, and as long as you have a bachelor's degree, take a few classes, and you can teach. Wasn't really interested in that, but it was going to pay the bills. I had a bachelor's degree. I didn't want to get an entry-level hourly job, I at least wanted to do something with my degree. Even though I wasn't able to do anything with the history or religion bachelor's degrees that I had, at least I could use it to get an actual job with a salary. So I said, all right, teaching, how hard could it be? The problem was, it was May. And entry into this program, the last date was in February of 2000, so I'd missed the deadline. The only way they would let me into their alternative certification program was if I secured a job. So my job was to approach a principal, get hired without any education training, and without any certification, and really without any interest in being a teacher. And if I could get a job, then they'd let me into the program so I could become certified to teach. Yeah, how'd that work for you? Well, once again, my wife's connections helped out. There was a lovely lady, her name is Dr. Kenita Kramer, she has passed on now, but she was the principal of Joy James Elementary in Casper ISD. Thankfully, though, she was my wife's middle school English teacher when my wife was at the middle school, and my wife went to senior prom with her son. And so back in high school, there was a strong family connection, and so I was able to get an interview with her, not because of anything that I had, but because she knew my wife. And she figured if my wife was willing to marry me, that she might as well give me a chance. Somehow, some way, I was able to talk my way into a fourth grade teaching position at Joy James Elementary with no education at all. And so that got me into the alternative certification program. I took 1 month of classes at Burleson High School, and it was a crash course. They threw everything at me because it wasn't just for elementary teaching. It was for content, all contents. It was for secondary, elementary, literacy, you name it. I can't remember anything. After 1 month of classes, they stuck me in a classroom with 16 9-year-olds and said, here you go. They're your responsibility. And those first few days were a complete blur. I remember when that bell first rang on that very first day of school. I was 22 years old. I was standing in front of those fourth graders, and they looked at me like, okay, what's going to happen now? And I was looking back at them saying, what did I get myself into? And so I was really teaching off instinct. I really didn't know what I was doing, but with the help of my mentor teacher, Mickey McPherson, and just a lot of trial and error, I made it through. And the thing was, is I wasn't really doing my very best. I was mailing it in. I was an 8-to-3 teacher because my passion, remember, was the ministry. I was working at my church. I was taking a few classes at Southwestern Seminary in the evenings, and I was continuing to pursue that. And I didn't know any better. I told the kids that I wanted to be a pastor, and I told the kids that I was going to seminary. I showed them my books. I showed them my backpack, and it was kind of fun. And we did some things. And, you know, teaching wasn't that bad. I was decent at it. I wasn't ever going to be as good as Mr. McPherson, but that's fine because that was his thing. That was his bag. I was just doing it for a few years until I finally caught on with the church. That was my plan. And then one of the little girls in my classroom just completely broke me down. She wrote me a note. This cute, cute little girl, very sweet. We had a lot of fun together. Her name was Jessica, and she liked me. I liked her. We had a good relationship. At the end of the year, you know how kids will write little notes, and they'll stick it on your desk, and then when one student sees another student write a note, suddenly you have 18,000 notes, and there are coloring sheets for you all over the place, and you put them all behind your desk like it's a refrigerator or something. She wrote this little note, and it said, really simply, she said, "Dear Mr. Daffern, I'm so glad you became a teacher instead of a preacher. I'll never forget you." That blew me away. That still makes me tear up when I think about that, because I had impacted this girl's life, and I wasn't even trying. I was doing the bare minimum just to maintain my employment and bring home the income so I could do what I really wanted to do, which was ministry and going to seminary. And that one little girl threw everything out the window. It made me really start thinking, what am I wanting to do? I was wanting to minister to adults, to students, to whichever position I can get at a church. And then it finally hit me. What was I doing all day, every day? I had 16 students for 7 hours, 5 days a week. It was a self-contained fourth grade classroom. They were all mine. If that wasn't ministry, I don't know what was. And 3/4 of these students would never darken the door of a church. And I had the ability to build into their lives, not only to teach them to write and to read and to do advanced mathematics and about science and social studies, but I had the opportunity to teach them about character, to teach them about perseverance, to teach them about being nice to one another and how to build each other up and how to believe in themselves. And it's like I just got slammed on the forehead with this thought, what am I doing? This is the ministry. This is what I was meant to do. This is why I am in education. I wanted to get into the church ministry, the vocational ministry, so I can touch students' lives, so I can improve the future of others. And I had that opportunity right in front of me. And it took me a while, but I finally figured it out. And so that is my why. I am in education, not because I planned on it, because one little girl thankfully taught me enough so that I know now that I have the ability to touch the future, to build into people's lives. And that's what I do as an educator. Yes, I teach them whatever my content standard says that I need to teach them, but it's more about the personal relationship. It's more about building their future, helping them to believe in themselves. And that's why I teach, because I view it as my ministry. Now, not everyone is going to have that same reason, and that's fine. You don't have to have spiritual overtones in order to be a great teacher. But why do you teach? Because if you are still like I was that very first year of teaching, where you're just mailing it in, you've got just a few months left to retirement, or maybe a few years, you see it, and it's close, but it's not quite there. You really need to rethink about what you're doing, because our students' future is much too important to give to someone that is simply doing an 8-to-3 job. This podcast is called The Passionate Pursuit of Pedagogical Perfection, because we can never stop growing. We can never stop learning. We are constantly trying to improve our craft. And the core of that comes from your why. Why do you teach? What is it that gets you up in the morning? What is it that makes you stay up at the school late on the weekends? Why are you listening to podcasts? Why are you searching Pinterest for new ideas? Why do you go to your book studies? And why do you try to learn things and look at various articles on Twitter? What is it that gets you going? You need to identify that, and you need to keep that, because there will come times when you question everything, when it becomes too much, when you face too much defeat and you wonder, why am I doing this? And unless you have that solid why, unless you have that core reason of this is why I am an educator, then you're going to find that there will be a moment in your life to where you might walk away. We might lose an awesome, awesome educator because you weren't really clear. Teaching is hard. It is not for the faint of heart. It is definitely not something to fall back on. It instead requires our full devotion. It is a calling. It is not simply a job or a career. It is something that we must give ourselves to. It took me a long time to figure that out. This is my 18th year of education. I was in the classroom for 11 years, taught 3rd grade, 4th grade, 6th grade. I was an elementary principal for a few years. I'm at the district level now, curriculum coordinator. And I see so many teachers that have potential. They have the ability to be awesome and to greatly impact their students. And yet they're missing something. They're missing that passion. Or they get beat down by so many things they cannot control, by parents, by administrators, by standardized testing. And they lose focus and they start to wobble, and then suddenly they go into another field. They become a realtor, or they totally change careers and get into medicine, or they do something else with their lives. And it's not because they couldn't teach, it's because they lost that ability to stay focused even when things get tough. And you can only stay focused as the world is crashing in on you for so long. It's not just about endurance. That's what this podcast is dedicated to, the passionate pursuit of pedagogical perfection. You need your why to get through the tough parts, but you've got to get to the better parts. And there are things that we can do as educators to improve our craft, to make teaching fun, to enjoy what we do every single day, to raise test scores if that's what we're concerned about. We can build into our students' lives. We can make them better people. We can increase their empathy. We can build their soft skills, their creative thinking, their communication, their collaboration, their creativity. We have the ability to change the future. First, we need to find why we are doing it. We need to make sure we have a rock-solid reason that we will spend our entire lives building into the future of other people's children. And then once we have that solid foundation, once we know why we do what we do, then comes the hard part. Then comes the relentless pursuit of becoming the educators our children need. I hope you found my story inspiring and that you will take a moment to think about why you teach, why you are an educator, what is it that drove you to do what you do. Really take a moment and reflect on that, think about that, write it down in a journal, write a blog post about it, share it with someone in your family. See if you can enunciate exactly what it is that makes you a teacher, and then hold on to that. If you enjoyed this, please make sure to subscribe and check back for future podcasts. My goal here is to share with you various inspirational stories, a lot of teaching techniques, and my experience with student engagement in the classroom as an administrator. You can check me out online at aarondaffern.com. I've written a few books on student engagement, and I am a frequent blogger. Thank you very much, and never stop improving.